we are going to start the trumpets. So we kind of an overview of the trumpets tonight. Kind of an overview again. Lord, we have spent a long time in worship tonight, but we do want to come before you. We just want to take a few minutes and lay everything aside, Lord. We just want to give you a few minutes to search us, invite you to search us. Find anything in us, Lord, that would prevent us coming right into your presence tonight. Search us. Lord, we don't want anything in us to hide from you ever. We want to be alive, open, fully exposed to your searchlight. You know, I read this morning, Lord, that your light came, but men loved their darkness. And they didn't love the light because they didn't want to be exposed. But Lord, we're inviting your light to expose everything. Lord, there may be things in us that we don't let go of, and we don't know how to change, but we invite you to change them. Come after them. Grant us a real repentance of anything, Lord, that still hinders us from walking into you. Because we really want to be in oneness with you. We want your spirit to live and be released through us. We just love you, Lord, and we ask you to speak to us through your word tonight. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to look at chapter 8, Revelation.
Yeah.
we've done all this, and now we're getting closer to the end of time. And he says, okay, that hasn't worked. But before I bring the final judgment, where there is no more opportunity, let me try some more extreme measures on the one you've been praying for. Let me try some things that are going to definitely get their attention. Yeah? Let's try something else. You know, one thing we need to realize, and we're going to go there a little bit tonight. To understand what's happening in Revelation, we need to understand who God is, how He works, His fullness of His character, who He is, but also the way He's done things in the past. There's stories. I mean, we've been reading in Jeremiah again, and you see how he's tried to plead with his children, Israel. He's tried to plead with them, but they don't listen. They're into their sin, they're into their own ways, they're stubborn. And it finally comes to a point where God says, okay, that's it. You're going to go into captivity in Babylon and be their slave. And that's those of you that escape. A lot of you are just going to die because your time is up. He said, but of those of you where there is any chance left that you just might repent, you're going to go into captivity now. And I'm going to put you through some really hard things. He did it in Egypt when he let them be in slavery in Egypt. And Jeremiah again said, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And he even says, I don't care, no, don't even pray, intercession won't work at this point. This is the only thing that will work with my people. They got to go through some things that will turn them back to me. And he said, it's my mercy, because when they turn back to me, I'm going to be so good to them. Then they will see me, then they will repent. Then I can be their God, they can be my people. But until they go through these things, nothing else has worked. So these trumpets have a twofold purpose. Number one, those who have rejected Christ that we've been praying for. He's about to do what it takes. Everything possible to win them. Number two, those of us who are trying to walk with Christ, these kinds of things, we see what God is doing, even though He's not doing it to us. He's not doing it to us, because these plagues that come do not touch God's people. They don't touch the Christians. And we're going to see that as we go back and look at the story in Egypt, because it's a parallel showing what God had to do and why He left His people in Egypt to watch what He was doing to the Egyptians. But those things didn't touch His people. And we'll see those that come under the covering of the blood will be protected and provided for. So we're going to kind of go back so we can look at the pattern of how God does things and why He does it. So the violence is being delayed. This is only the trumpets, but it's not getting pretty serious here on trumpets. Here is the power of prayer being poured out. Here's the power of God and the fire of God being ignited by our prayers and coming to earth. Verse 5, he took that censer and he filled it with fire. And he tapped it through the earth. Put a nest in there. He cast it through the earth. And there were voices. I like that. There were voices. Whose voices? What's he pouring out? Our prayers. I think our voices were in those prayers. I think our very voices are a part of that. And thunders and lightning and an earthquake. The results of our prayers is that the seven angels prepare to sound the trumpets. That's the next page. So, when we look at trumpet one, we go back in chapter 8 again, where we left off, and look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there were bottled hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. We had that question about all green grass. I looked up the words and the meanings, and it doesn't necessarily mean everything green and turn up. It means all types of grasses, plants, birds, different types of things that were growing were all burnt up, not only grass. So recall that too, we're gonna remember that what happened on this first seal. Because we saw the hail. I lost my voice. We saw the hail with the fire mingled within, but and we saw the third part of the trees and all the green and all the growing things that were burnt up. And we're gonna see that he did that also in Egypt, so we're looking for that. Okay, so in Exodus chapter 7, Moses was sent to Egypt to Pharaoh, leading to set God's people free. Now, this kind of is a parallel. We're going to find in Revelation of Babylon, which Egypt is representing the world system. And Pharaoh is representing the devil. And today the parallel is that this entire world has become captured by the devil in his way. He's the prince of the power of the air. So this is a type of Egypt. If we just go quickly through these purposes down here near the bottom. God's purpose in the plagues twofold. Number one, to show the Egyptians that he is God. Verse 5 said, they shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. So we see God's purpose there is to make it known, I am God. Now I might have been hiding all these years, but now what I'm going to do, you're going to know it's me. Now in Revelation, as we go on, we see the point where things are happening and men are hiding from the face of God. And they know very well who is doing these things, and yet they don't repent. And second, Lord, there he wants to bring his people out of the system of slavery to Egypt. He wants to bring us out of being enslaved to sin. And those of us who are Christians during this tribulation period, as we're watching all these things going on and as we're being persecuted, it is going to bring us closer to God. It's going to, we're going to watch, we're going to see, and we're going to say, wow, I don't want anything to do anymore with the system of this world. I want to be completely on God's side of things. Number two, he drew his people into this greater separation from the ways of the world to stop serving the world. I listed some verses here that are in Exodus 7. Six times God said, let my people go, that they may serve me. He didn't just want to set them free. He wanted them to come to him. He wanted them to serve him. So people that try to use Jesus just as an escape from punishment, it doesn't work. Repentance to work out is turning to him because you want to serve God. Okay, the next page, we're going to look at some of the plagues. These are the extreme measures that the Lord used. Notice how they're also parallel in the book of Revelation. And Exodus gave us an example of the things God did, why he did these things, and that his people were here. He wanted them to watch what he was doing until the very final judgment came. Now, actually, in the case of Egypt, they were there for the final judgment. At the Red Sea, when he finally killed Pharaoh and all of his soldiers, they watched that while they were being delivered. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be here for those vials when they pour out, but we'll at least be in heaven on the other side of that experience, watching and seeing that happen. So number one, chapter 7, verse 10. Watching for patterns there. Moses' rod becomes a snake, and the magicians copy the miracle. Miracles alone can deceive us. Just because we see a miracle doesn't mean it's God. Moses made his rod into a snake. The magicians think theirs into true snakes. But then Moses' rod ate their snakes. His snake ate their snakes. Number two, the waters became blood, and fish died, and the water was not fit to drink. The magicians copied that too. But they're pretty stupid. Because why do they want to turn their water into blood and kill more fish? Yeah, and they get dumber and dumber by the miracle. In chapter 8, there were frogs everywhere. The magicians copied that. Makes more frogs everywhere. And then there were lice in many also accompanied that. Their point was they wanted to prove they could do anything God could do, that they were powerful. And God allowed them to copy to a point, because the people that want to be deceived will always be deceived. People that don't want to believe something is of God will not believe it, no matter what you show them. And I remember when I owned the beauty shop during the racial wars in Pontiac, and I had the one black girl working for me, and nobody would let her do their hair. And I was trying to give her to Jesus, and she just didn't believe God was real. And I said, what would it take for you to believe God is real? She said, fill the appointment, wrote my schedule up solid with appointments for a week, and I'll know that God is real. And I said, okay. I was a good Christian, and I believed God would answer anything I asked him. So I asked God to do it and tell her he would, and he did. Filled her book with appointments. And she still didn't believe me. She said it's constant. So even a miracle, well, they will find a way. They'll find a way to argue it away, to explain it away, to reason it away, because they don't want God. People that love their darkness, they don't want to see the light. So God allows the devil to do some things for those who want to be deceived. Number 5, there were swarms of flies. At this point, God said, I put a division between my people and your people. These flies were not touching God's people. None of the flies, none of the frogs, none of those things touched God's people. And then in number 6, there was a disease that came upon the cattle and the horses and the other animals, but not on God's people. Then there were boils on men and beasts. Now we'll see the boils on men more when we get into the vials. So some of these go beyond trumpets, and some are just, again, down in the trumpets. But the pattern is, God did these things as the last attempt to turn people to Him and to show His people, you really want to be on my side here. And the Lord said, I will show in you my power that my name be declared. Now, when we're watching these things go on, we're also here that we're declaring the name of Christ. We're here to be telling people what's going on and why, and rescuing them if they will be rescued. Number 8, the great hail killed the cattle. Now, before that hail killed the cattle, God actually said, warned anyone to kill the cattle. He said, if you will go put them in the barn, they won't be hurt. But these people were so stubborn and defiant, they didn't put them in the barn. And any of them that were not in barns were killed by this hail. Hail and fire, they go with fire. Also killed some of the men, some of the herbs and plants. But it did not kill what was under the ground that had not come out yet. Now, we questioned before, every green thing was killed. How later did the third of the green get destroyed? It must have been under the ground during this stage, so that later it sprung up and there was more green in the air again. Because God made a point to say, the seed that was under the ground was not destroyed. Then there were locusts that covered the earth and ate the residue of the food that had survived the hail. They showed there was no green thing left. Everything that was already above ground was destroyed. Now, I underline some of the things I know we'll see again as we go through Revelation. And thick darkness for 3 days. During this thick darkness, we see different times where the day was, a third of the day was dark. But then later in the book of Revelation, you will see where there was really thick darkness. And it was one of the curses of God on the people that didn't believe in Him. But where, if we are here at that time, what would it be for us? When these curses of God come, they don't touch His people. And in Egypt, the people of God had light. They had light in their trumpets. They were not in darkness. Then the firstborn of everyone not covered by the blood died. Now this is where the story talked about the blood on the post of the door. All it took to be saved was making sure that they had blood. Now if they had the blood of Christ, of Satan. From the curses of God, we will be persecuted by the enemy as were these people. They were put in bondage, they were put in slavery, but the curses of God do not come against God's people. They come against his enemies. Why were they left there? Why will we be here during the tribulation? And what is it going to be like for us? In Psalm 105, we'll see all these plagues listed again. But we also see a few verses that give a little bit more detail about what was going on at the same time. In verse 40, it says, they were fed by miracles. As they were being let out, God provided food in miraculous ways. So we're going to be fleeing into the mountains and hiding from the persecutors. God will provide food in miraculous ways. The rocks provided the water for them. We don't need to worry about that. What will we eat? What will we drink? God will provide. And the people had joy. His people had joy. There's a joy even in the worst things that are going on. When you know that you're right with God and you're trusting Him, there's a peace and there's a joy. And then He led them to new lands where they could serve Him. When we come out of this tribulation time, we are going to be so separated from everyone and anything to do with sin. Because everything of God is so wonderful, we'll be completely consumed with the joy of just being with Him. Now we go back to the thought of our trumpets. Our prayers are what we pour out that reduce these trumpets. It's our prayers. So we need to be in prayer. We need to never give up on praying. And just because the answer doesn't come immediately. I prayed for my uncle for 30 some years. I still have to do this. And anybody remember how long it went back? I don't remember it better. But it was 30 some years I prayed for that uncle. No indication of him listening to me. In fact, many times he said, I don't care and you don't either. I hate God, I'm mad at God, killed his son. And he flat out said, I will never go into church again because God killed his son. No indication. I wrote him a letter now and then, I begged him to turn his life to the Lord, and he would say, no, not interested. After 30 some years, he had a heart attack in GR.
As he was traveling
through, we didn't live here, right in my town. I got to go to the hospital and tell me more and more time. And I took him a letter, and I talked to him, and I gave him the letter. And I never saw him again. But family members told me they believed he got saved because he completely changed shortly after that, right before he died. It took his whole life, but he finally turned. There was another old man I went to, Mr. Cooper, over and over and over, and he didn't listen. And he died of an interest funeral, and I thought he never accepted the Lord, and it just broke my heart for him. And months later, his wife said, you know, I forgot to tell you. He said, he wanted me to give you this. The neighbor had left it with him, and it was a salvation tract. He wanted me to have it to tell me he accepted the Lord.
Crazy.
At the end of his life. So those people you're praying for, those prayers are collected in heaven. And if they're not answered yet, they're going to be poured out with the fire of God on this earth to get answered. Never give up. I always remember that being separated from most of my grandchildren, you know, not getting to be as close as I am to the ones here. And when God said to me, in heaven they will know you, and you'll have all eternity with them. That means they're going to be there. I have to hold on to that because some of them don't act like they're going to be there.
Nice.
But my prayers, if they don't turn before this day, that fire's going to be after them when this is poured out. Psalm 18:6. I called upon the Lord. He heard my voice. My cry came before him, even to his ears. The earth shook. And the hills moved. We'll see that in tribulation. The mountains are moved out of their place. Coals were kindled by the fire of his mouth. He came down in the wind he hid in darkness. At the brightness before him, thick clouds and hailstones and coals of fire. We see when God comes down, some of these things happen every time. He thundered and he gave his voice, and hailstones and coals of fire came. He delivered me from my strong enemy. I have captured the thought of these verses. You can read them for the full context. Because he delighted in me. God delights in us. He delights in us. And the real important thing to remember as we're reading through tribulation, if God allows us to go through anything, it is to refine us. It is to purify us. It is to draw us closer to him and prepare us for eternity with him. But we never need to fear the curses of God if we're under the blood, because he will provide for us. He will take care of us. I am so aware of that, because we have lived in some poverty years ago where God did provide and miraculously provided. And you know, I've told this before, but it's been a while, when we were out in Texas and had practically no income, and we had a mother with her little baby living with us, and we went to bed one night and said, God, there's about $20 worth of food we desperately need, and milk. And it's already late at night. And a loaf of bread. And even to get through the morning to feed the people living in this house with us, basically bread, milk, and $20 to go to the store and get the rest, we desperately need. The stores are already closed, and I don't know how you're going to provide, but there's our need. And there was a knock on the door.
As we prayed,
a knock on the door. Well, we were way back in the house, because our house was the church, but it wasn't this big. So the whole living room was church. We didn't use it as a living room ever. And then we had the kitchen and the dining room, the table there where we schooled kids. And then way to the back of the house, you know, was our bedroom. So by the time we got to the front door and opened it, it was no living room. But there was a bag hanging on that doorknob with milk, bread, and $20 bill.
Exactly.
So, we've seen God's provision, and we know he can provide. But for the people in Egypt, he rained meat from heaven.
Right.
He rained bread from heaven, and later quails. And water came from the rocks. God has resources unlimited. And no matter what the devil is doing, we don't need to worry. We were reading about this little book he brought home today about the ways that we can be spied on, the malware that can get even in your television. Did you know there's a false off switch in any smart TV that when you think it's off, it's really not?
Right.
They can still see into your room and they start to record everything spoken in your room, but you think your TV is off. The only way it's off is unplugged. That does work. And other things that they're, you know, so they're tracking you. You can't use your car, can't use your phone, can't use your TV, can't use your computer. What are you going to do? God can transport us without a vehicle. Bam, you're here, now you're here. And on the day we need it, he will. On the day we need those miracles, we'll have them. He doesn't do them to show off. Today you can put your key in your car and go where you want. But on the day that you can't, he will transport us if needed. He is a God of miracles. And we need to trust him that he will take care of us. So there's some other scriptures if you want to read through Isaiah 30, Ezekiel 38, 39. But what I've been discovering is we're not going to learn everything we need to know by only reading the book of Revelation. We need to have a grip on the Old Testament, on the New Testament, on the other scriptures that also give us more insight into why God does what he does and who God is. If we get a bigger picture, then Revelation opens up easier to us. But I'm excited with trumpet one. I'm excited because it is our prayers that are being called out through the trumpets. That is all okay with me. If those things are going to bring my loved ones in, those things are going to refine me and be closer, bring it on. Pour out the trumpets.
Amen.